The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast. This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show rolls on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. If you want to hop aboard, it's 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. It's all presented by Progressive Insurance, and all our guests appear on the Goodyear Hotline. Jay Billis will join us in about 8 minutes. We will talk name, image, and likeness with him. There's nobody better to have that discussion with than our own Jay Billis. That's coming up in just a moment. As you heard during the update, Major League Baseball has issued the following statement regarding LA Dodgers pitcher Trevor Bauer and the investigation, the sexual assault investigation. MLB's investigation into the allegations made against Trevor Bauer are ongoing. While no determination in the case has been made, we have made the decision to place Mr. Bauer on a 7-day administrative leave effective immediately. MLB continues to collect information on our ongoing investigation concurrent with the Pasadena Police Department's active criminal investigation. We will comment further at the appropriate time. And according to Jeff Passan, Trevor Bauer is not appealing this situation. And we learned earlier from our own Alden Gonzalez at ESPN that the Dodgers could not put him on leave based on the collective bargaining agreement between Major League Baseball and the MLB Players Association. And it was on the league to do this, because I was openly wondering to start the show, and we talked about it briefly once I saw Alden's report, that that was not the case, that that could not be the case just based on the rules that were in place. So nonetheless, that is the situation with Trevor Bauer. We move on to things obviously a lot less serious in the NBA playoffs, and the Bucks are one win away. They are one win away from their first finals appearance in, gosh, well over 30-some-odd years. And they did it without Giannis. And a dominant effort by Brook Lopez. Brook Lopez, 14 of 18 from the field. 33 points. And I want to say this about Brook. Brook has been a really important player on this Bucks team. This was a guy that was playing with the Lakers a number of years ago as basically a mini mid-level guy. $3.5 million, I think it was, that he was making. Then went to the Bucks originally for similar money. The Bucks, what a find in Brook, who most people thought, with the way big men were aging out of the game based on the style of play, that he wouldn't be a factor anymore. And we've seen a resurgence of the big men, and Brook has certainly added to that particular equation. But the Bucks got a big effort across the board from Jrue Holiday, who, let's face it, since that first series against Miami, where he was the best player on the floor in my estimation, has not been as consistent. But 13 assists last night, and he had 25 points. Chris Middleton almost had a triple-double, 26, 13, and 8. And Bobby Portis, man, he is the Energizer Bunny for that Bucks team, with 22 and 8 starting in place of Giannis, his first playoff start. He hadn't been in the playoffs since 2017 when he was a young player with the Bulls. So cool for him. And we'll see if both him, we'll see if the Bucks and the Hawks are both healthy for Game 6, with Trae Young giving it a go in warm-ups, but couldn't go with the ankle. And Giannis' situation, obviously tenuous as well. I'd be surprised if either played, but obviously for what's best for the league and for sports fans, I'd love to see them both play in that situation. But we'll see. We'll see who'll get the right to face Chris Paul and the Suns, which is fantastic. The fact to hear that Chris Paul's name is going to be attached to the NBA Finals is great. He's one of the greatest players to ever play that particular position, and certainly deserving of this opportunity and this stage, there's no doubt. Speaking of this opportunity and this stage, I want to talk, before Jay comes on, Jay Billis will join us in about 5 minutes, about name, image, and likeness real quick. You know what's hilarious about this? People are so scared of change. It really is that. And, you know, it's not just name, image, and likeness. If you look at any walk of life, whenever life evolves, there's generally some pushback. Now, for me, I look at this as an incredible opportunity, because isn't this the land of the free, the home of the brave? Isn't this what capitalism is supposed to be about? Why shouldn't capitalism work for college athletes? I've never understood that. You and I can go to school and work, but an athlete can't. And by the way, a scholarship, an academic scholarship person can work and make money. And an athlete couldn't. I just never understood that. So why have they been exempt from making money? It's also, while a huge moment, certainly, in NCAA history for athletes, it's not like the NCAA was a willing participant here. They had to drag them along here. If it wasn't for the state of California getting the ball rolling in 2019 with their legislation, we may never have arrived here. So I know that there are some people that are applauding the NCAA. I mean, spare me with that, man. I mean, they were kind of shamed and litigated into this thing. And the crazy part is that they're still vocal opponents to name, image, and likeness, which I don't get. That I don't get. But what I've noticed, and maybe I'm just the only person to notice this, but I think the funniest thing that I've noticed about those who object to this particular situation, there is a particular brand of former college athlete that objects. And the prototype for the former athlete that objects to this particular situation is someone who generally comes from a more affluent background, if you do your due diligence. Basically, I'll say this. Tell me how many poor people you know, or poor people you knew growing up. How many poor people do you have even in your social circle right now? People who aren't as affluent, perhaps, as you. And that will, I'm not saying it's a general consensus, but that will tell me how you feel about this particular subject matter. Because some of the athletes that are pushing back on this, again, fit that prototype. Perhaps they came from a better, more stable economic situation from a family perspective. It seems like that's the common ground here. And if you're in that situation and you've been blessed to have a good socioeconomic situation growing up, you don't really get what this means to people, particularly athletes. And it's crazy because we've seen the explosion of businesses that were previously considered taboo. Gambling is one. I mean, DraftKings, FanDuel, Underdog Sports, those are just three. And that was certainly taboo, and it's being legislated in because, you know what? We have lotteries. That's gambling. We need to let people be adults. I'll give you this. DraftKings, we'll use them as an example. They got a $20 billion market cap. That's just one company. So you can go and invest in DraftKings. By the way, cannabis was also one of those taboo businesses that has exploded, right? If you look at the top 10 largest cannabis stocks, it's like $25 billion market cap between them. So people that look at these previously taboo topics, whether it's gambling, cannabis, college kids and their name, image, and likeness and being allowed to make money, dude, life moves, okay? You either get on the train or you get left behind. And I look at it as the schools aren't paying them directly. The kids are free to make money as an entrepreneur, just like any other kid on campus. And look at all these kids getting deals done themselves here, or you know, creating opportunities for themselves. Spencer Rattler, Bo Nix, De'Aaron King, those are just college football quarterbacks. You got the Cavender sisters, the basketball players at Fresno State, Olivia Dunn, a gymnast, at LSU. There are people now utilizing their social media following to monetize. No different than the Kardashians have. No different than any kid on a campus could that wasn't an athlete. So I'm glad we're finally here. And I'm sure this next guest is certainly glad we're finally here. Jay Billis, ESPN college basketball analyst, and genuinely great guy. Jay, did you ever believe, and thank you for joining us, Did you ever believe we'd get to this moment?
Yeah, I did. I wasn't sure exactly when it would happen, but I really believe that that sort of the NCAA's price-fixing cartel behavior would be exposed at some point, and the courts would catch up to what I consider to be illegal behavior and business practices. And, you know, it's funny, the last time that the NCAA was in front of the United States Supreme Court was in 1984. It was called the Board of Regents case. And the NCAA was sued under the same theory of antitrust violation, but they were sued by the schools when the NCAA was telling the schools, here's how often you can be on television. And the schools were saying, no, we want to make money. We want to be on TV when we think we should be on TV, that kind of thing. And there was drastic change after that in revenue generation and the amount of money that coaches were making, you name it. And now the players, but nobody complained. Nobody said, hey, the sky is falling or this is going to change college athletics as we know it. They embraced it. They dealt with it and we figured it out. But now that athletes are poised to start making money, we've got doomsday prognosticators out there and I don't buy any of it. I think the sun's going to come up tomorrow and the world will remain firmly on its axis and the players will still get their degrees and the games will start on time and all the checks will clear. It's not this big of a deal. The rest of the world engages in commerce. College athletes can too.
Jay Billis with us here on the Goodyear Hotline. Yeah, amen to that for sure. And again, I don't know if you heard me talking before you jumped on. The schools aren't paying them directly. I don't understand what the objection here is. If I go to college and I want to become an entrepreneur and I have an academic scholarship, there's nothing against the rules that I can't create some sort of business for myself. Why athletes? Like, what is the objection if they're not going to pay them directly?
Well, one is the history of it. So a lot of people have a hard time wrapping their heads around it, almost like when amateurism was taken out of the Olympic charter back in the day. The second part of it is the NCAA and the member institutions, they know that that this is only other people paying the players now, that it's going to get to the schools, that they're going to have to pay them at some point. You know, the Supreme Court ruling was limited in its scope, but it wasn't limited in what it was really telling in the future. And that was that all of these business practices that the NCAA uses are going to be found to be illegal. And before you know it, unless Congress steps in and passes a law that says schools can't pay players, we're just a few court cases away from schools paying their players. That's where it's going to wind up because all of these restrictions on athletes are violative of federal antitrust law. And it's just going to take a couple more cases in order for that to be established. The Supreme Court basically said it. In any other industry, the NCAA's business practices would be per se illegal. And the NCAA heard that loud and clear. And that's what they're most afraid of, is that they're going to keep losing these cases. And if Congress doesn't give them safe harbor to allow them to continue to violate antitrust law, they're going to have to actually do business like everybody else.
Jay Billis with us here on the Goodyear Hotline. What do you think Congress will do? Will they do something in this regard? That I mean, it seems like a Hail Mary of sorts, but what do you think transpires there?
I don't know. I mean, I think they're poised to act in some regard, but they don't know. There's division among lawmakers as to exactly what should happen. And I think there's some sympathetic people out there to the idea that there needs to be a national standard, you know, just one standard, not 50 different states. I'm not one of those people. I mean, we have 50 different state income tax laws, and the NCAA is not complaining that Florida and Texas have an advantage in hiring coaches and employees because they won't have to pay state income tax. They just do business. It's not that big of a deal. And this wouldn't be either. If a state thinks that another state has an advantage, then pass a different law that equals theirs. Like, that's what competition's all about. We've seen that already. But what I'm hopeful of is Congress does not provide the NCAA with the ability to continue to violate the law as they have for over 100 years now with illegal business practices. We'll see what happens, but that's what all the attention of the NCAA is now, is lobbying Congress to give them the ability to continue to do what they've been doing. And they want to draw the line now on employment. They don't want the athletes to be employees. And that's really the last-ditch effort they have here. But we'll see what happens. I think one of the things, George, that I think could happen is it's going to take Congress a while to act. And in the meantime, what I think everybody will find is we'll figure this out and everybody will do just fine. And when there's no urgency, when the games are going off on time and college football stadiums are full and players are doing endorsement deals and there are no major issues, Congress will say, you know what, it's going good. We're good here. We can leave this to the states. We don't need to get involved. We'll see. But I'm not worried that the sky is going to fall and doomsday is around the corner, as the NCAA has promised us all these years. I think the players are going to be able to do business, and the schools can make their own decisions on how they want to handle it.
Jay Billis with us here. It's the Max Kellerman Show. George Sedano in for Max today here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Jay is joining us on the Goodyear Hotline. So, Jay, I got two quick ones for you here. Beyond the kids, like, how do you think the programs, whether it's big-time college football, big-time college basketball, how do you think they adapt, and who stands to benefit as far as these programs are concerned?
Well, the ones that are most progressive and embrace this, it's sort of like the line from the movie Moneyball, you know, that Billy Beane said to one of his scouts, adapt or die. Already, many of the schools are big-time schools and are putting out social media posts about, hey, we're a place where you can really benefit from our visibility with your NIL rights. So they're already marketing themselves as a great destination for NIL, in addition to all the other things that they can do. It's going to be really difficult, I think, George, for this to be done without schools being involved. The schools are going to find out, to the extent they don't already know, that combining their university marks, their intellectual property rights, with the player name, image, and likeness rights are revenue streams that are going to benefit the schools exponentially. They're going to do really well in that marketplace. And they're going to want to participate in it. And the more restrictions there are on players that come from the NCAA, the more they're going to be running afoul of federal antitrust law. So, you know, I think the less regulation is better. Like, the answer here is in simplicity. Deregulate and let people do business as they want. But to the latter part of your question, you know, I think there's a thought process out there now that, you know, Alabama and Clemson are just going to dominate in football because they've got the most money. They're dominating now because of the way the system works. But I think it makes it more likely that the lesser resource programs can get better talent with NIL, and if they could actually pay, because they could marshal resources toward getting players they otherwise would never have a chance at. I think most economists would agree with that, but that's going to require loosening the rules to where the schools can participate in the business along with the players, and it's done in collaboration rather than the schools saying, all right, we're completely out of this, you guys are on your own, but you have to report everything to us. That I can't imagine. Like, why a player would have to report a business deal that they're doing to the school and like register it and all that stuff. I find that crazy, and I don't see it lasting all that long.
Jay, we've run out of time, but thank you so much, man. You're always so kind with your time with me. I always appreciate it. Thank you so much for hanging out with us today. Thanks again, okay? And have a great weekend.
No, thank you for having me. You too.
All right, take care. There he is, Jay Billis with us here. Man, there's a lot. There's a lot to dig into there. Maybe we'll dig into some of it in No Doubt coming up next. Will Reggie Bush get his Heisman? I was actually going to ask Jay that, but we ran out of time.
No Doubt.
We'll get into that on the other side. Pivotal Game 6 tomorrow between the Hawks and Bucks. Will Giannis or Trey play? This weekend preview is brought to you by Bank of America. Customized cash rewards credit card. Earn 3% cash back on online shopping. Copyright 2020 Bank of America Corporation. So should Reggie get his Heisman back? We'll get that in No Doubt next. But first, it's time for Straight Talk. We've all been there, man. You have some real work to do, but then the free Wi-Fi where you're working isn't going to cut it. It's like leaving the winning runner stranded on third base. Not good, I'll tell you that. Well, now you can be on your own hotspot with Straight Talk's Unlimited Ultimate Plan. The Ultimate Unlimited Plan. Get 10 gigs of hotspot data for just $55 a month, all on America's largest, most dependable networks. Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Compatible device required. Make sure you got that device that's compatible. See straighttalk.com for details. No Doubt is next.
No Doubt.
KJZ.
Here's what's going to happen to Zach Wilson. As long as he is a playoff-type quarterback, he can have that Phillip Rivers-type career.
The NFL season never ends. On Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, get the latest Monday morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Yes, sir. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. George Sedano in for Max. Hope you guys and ladies will all have a great holiday weekend ahead of you here. If you want to hit us up, it's 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We're going to play No Doubt, and then we're going to get into some calls after that. Tune into an interleague battle Sunday as the Yankees host the Mets, presented by Credit Karma. Coverage of Sunday Night Baseball begins at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, of course, as well, and at 7 p.m. on ESPN Television.
I'm going to get right down to it.
We got you covered.
Let me tell you what I think it means.
No Doubt.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Mr. Sedano. Mr. Sedano, straight up, you just talked with Billis about the NIL, so I'll ask you, Reggie Bush should get his Heisman back.
No Doubt.
No Doubt.
Not only should Reggie Bush get his Heisman back, okay? Jalen and Chris Webber and the Fab Five should get all their records back, too. Right? Everybody should be out here. James Wiseman missed time. Dez Bryant missed time at Oklahoma State. Right? All these dudes, okay? Anybody who got nailed by something like this, okay? One of these violations in regards to name, image, and likeness or money exchanged or whatever, all that stuff should go away. Expunge it, okay? Now, I know the NCAA won't do it, but I believe they should. Yes.
That's right. And SMU should give Eric Dickerson, our friend, another car, another sports car, whatever they got him to go there.
At SMU?
Cool. Hey.
I mean, that man, because that man was so good, they put the program away for a while. Good Lord. And by the way, one more thing.
Yeah.
How about Miami gets those 3 years back from Nevin Shapiro where y'all found nothing in the NCAA, where you hired Nevin Shapiro's attorney to work for you illegally. How about that? Let's go.
Preach, preach. Hey, we got a birthday in the house, George. Tom Cruise turns 59 tomorrow. 59. So you got a choice here. You like Mission Impossible over Fast and Furious. They both got like 100 movies.
No Doubt.
No Doubt.
Listen, Tom Cruise, he may be a little eccentric. He may be a little crazy, but he is the OG of action movies, okay? I know that we got Sly. I know we got Arnold. I know we got a lot of guys. Jason Statham, right, is probably in that conversation now. Jackie Chan, right? Like, there's a bunch of dudes over the years. But Tom's in that group, man, whether you like it or not. Ooh. And the best thing about Tom, he's more versatile than all them dudes. So
does his own stunts. His own stunts.
At almost 60 years old, which is insane and crazy. But, yeah, I'm with
Fast and the Furious have to do with Tom Cruise?
Because I trashed Fast and the Furious the other day. Remember?
Just because they're both action movies? Question.
Maybe if you weren't on your TWT and off during the middle of the week, you'd know what's going on in this show. Let's move along.
Hold on. The only thing I'll say about Tom Cruise is this, is that he does play kind of the same character in almost every movie. I ain't mad at him because he's getting money.
Yeah.
But he plays, you know, just name a movie, and he's just the cocky version of that person. That's just what he is.
That's like my man John Wick. I'm forgetting his name. And he plays the same.
Keanu Reeves?
Yes. Yeah, I love him. He plays the same guy, but I love
him. Yeah, it's always like, just kind of like, what? Like, that's just his perpetual state of what? Anyway, go ahead. What's next?
Hey, let's talk some Olympics, man. Gee, come on, Sedano. You fill in the Shikari suspension?
Nah. This is silly to me, okay? Let's think about
2021.
Exactly, dude. Now, I tweeted this out yesterday. You can follow me on Twitter, at Sedano, S-E-D-A-N-O. 34 states in the United States have legalized marijuana for medicinal or recreational purposes. And at least 48 countries, by the way, which participate in the Olympics, have also done the same. What are we doing here? Now, she went on the Today Show. She, you know, took responsibility for it. She says she was smoking marijuana because, you know, her mom died, you know, very abruptly while she was at the Olympic trials in Oregon and all that. And I know it was an emotional time. Look, a lot of people use it to cope for anxiety
and pain. And I just think we need, like we were talking about with name, image, and likeness, I actually referenced cannabis during that discussion earlier, and, you know, even gambling, right? All these things that were taboo, we need to move past this, especially with the type of legislation we've seen, not only in this country, but abroad.
Preach, preach. Hey, and here was the verses I know you were excited for. I even heard you and OZ was late a couple of breaks because Keith Sweat versus Bobby Brown versus was the best one yet.
No doubt. So,
no doubt.
I'll tell you this. Very few of them, Raj, to your point, and you mentioned LZ Granderson, my very astute co-host on ESPN Los Angeles in the afternoon on radio. We were talking about it. I haven't watched a ton of these while we've been on the air. But, you know, Bobby and Keith is a different era for me. Like, that was like junior high, George Sedano. Yeah. You know, you're starting to look at the young ladies and be like, oh, I'm in love with her. You know, like, you get the goo-goo eyes. And, you know, that you don't know what that music's saying at 12 or 13 years old. You just know it's smooth. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, and you're like, I want to be smooth like Keith Sweat and Bobby Brown back in those days. So I will say, though, Keith Sweat looks great, okay? Oh. I know Bobby's been through some hard times, but Bobby was sweating up there,
man.
Literally and figuratively. He took off his jacket. He took off his hat.
He had chicken grease coming out his pores, man.
He was sweating, but he brought it. And that's all you want in those things. He brought it. Keith Sweat brought it. It was the best verses that I'd seen. So, no doubt.
Good job. Let's see if you can sneak it in.
No doubt.
Right, let me sneak in Ryan in California. Ryan, do you like Bobby Brown or Keith Sweat?
Yes. Yeah, I want to say, what do you think the chances are that DeAndre Ayton gets finals MVP, especially if they go up against the Bucks? Because it seems like he matches well with Brooke Lopez inside, and he has the size, the strength, and the speed, I think, to keep up with Giannis. Also, another thing I want to bring up, I met you 2 years ago at Bar Louie in Downey, California. You guys did the show live from there. You remember that?
Yes, sir, I do. Raj was there with me, actually.
Oh, Raj, that was cool. You were very nice. You took a picture with us. I remember I talked to you about Tropicana for a few minutes. You started talking about Tropicana on the air. You brought some for the show. I just want to say, you know, you took a picture of us. You're very nice, so thank you for that. I always remember that.
I appreciate you, brother. I appreciate you listening, whether it's in L.A. or when I'm sitting here filling on the network. Thank you so much. And, you know, Raj, I mean, only the L.A. people will know this, but and you know this because I'm Cuban. So I found me the authentic Cuban place in L.A. It's out in Downey. It's Tropicana.
Okay.
Yeah, it's my spot. Oh. So, you know, right. if you are in the Southland listening right now, that's my spot. So shout out to Tropicana Bakery. Mel Sr. and Mel Jr., the entrepreneurs for that place. So anyhow, real quick, though, his question about DeAndre Ayton, you know, apparently, you know, he kind of brushed aside by Bobby Brown. Keith Sweat question, though, Raj. I was kind of hoping.
There was no kind of. He completely moved past it.
Yeah, Bubba, he was not interested at all. You know when the light is about to turn, like, you know, like red, like he just is yellow. He like sped through that one. So anyway, his Ayton question, can Ayton be the MVP? Sure, of course. I think any of the top players could be the MVP. Now, DeAndre Ayton would need like 20-20 type games, which we know he's capable of. We've seen it in this postseason already. So perhaps that's the case. Hey, coming up next, I never got to the list. We're going to do it on the other side. The QB and coach in the NFL with the most pressure next season. I got a list for you. We'll get to that in just a moment. But first, Major League Baseball is on ESPN Radio. We've got two games on our air this weekend. The Subway Series tomorrow, Mets and Yankees at 1 Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. And then on Sunday Night Baseball, Mets and Yankees again at 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. This MLB weekend preview is brought to you by Credit Karma. Visit creditkarma.com/winmoney to open your free account and start winning instant karma. Credit Karma money. Progress starts here. So we got our QB coach combo with the most pressure in the NFL as we wrap up the week here on the Max Kellerman Show. George Sedano in for Max on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. George Sedano here for you. Max is out, but I've got a last take. Last take is brought to you by Dell. Upgrade your business during Dell Technologies Black Friday in July event. Get savings up to 50% off and take your office with you with Windows 10 Pro. Call 877-ASK-DELL for a Dell Technologies advisor. So, I promised you earlier we'd get into a little NFL talk. I just briefly gave it to you. So we were talking about the coach and QB combos with the most pressure this season. Bubba, find me some music. Give me some NFL music. I need to feel good again. I need to feel like I'm hosting NFL primetime, like Boomer and Tom Jackson and Keyshawn back in the day. There it is. Whoop, whoop, whoop. He could go all the way. All right. Now I feel good. So I mentioned how, obviously, the Dallas Cowboys quarterback-coach combination always has pressure on them. That's how we were talking about Dak earlier. But here's the list, okay? Chicago Bears. If you're Matt Nagy, think about this right now. You have now been through how many quarterbacks? Mitchell Trubisky. He gave Nick Foles all that money. And now you added Andy Dalton, and then you drafted Justin Fields. You're going to have to navigate through all that. That's not easy by any stretch of the imagination. So they're number five on my list. Number three, I'm going to go with the Indianapolis Colts. Less because of Frank Reich, but mostly because of Carson Wentz and having to kind of rejuvenate his career. This was a guy that prior to his knee injury was possibly the front runner in the MVP race a couple of years ago. So can he be that MVP type of player from 2017? If anyone can bring it out in him, it's going to be Frank Reich. If he can't, we're going to know very quickly here. Number three on my list, the Las Vegas Raiders. Now, Raj, you and I were talking about Derek Carr playing chess and not checkers the other day. While he's, you know, talking about how he wants to be a Raider for life, and then he was trying to flirt with Devontae Adams. Funny, though, Devontae Adams is like, nah, I'm good. I love Derek, but, you know, I'm good. I'm good. But John Gruden, we talked about it the other day. This is year four, man. Zero playoff appearances, 10 games under 500. At some point, something's got to give in this Raiders franchise, and it's going to probably be the quarterback over the coach, in my estimation, because of the amount of money they're paying.
Yeah, but that's not the problem. The coach is being the GM, and the GM wasting their first-round picks in an awful defense, and that's the problem. I don't care what who's quarterback, and they've wasted those extra draft picks they got from Mac and others.
I agree, especially those first couple of years. So they're number three in my QB coach pressure combo meter. And then number two, this one again, also similar to Carson Wentz, more on the quarterback, although I love Lamar Jackson, okay? He's got a 30-7 career regular season record. He's got an MVP award in 2019. This man is as dazzling a dual threat playmaker as we've ever seen. However, we know about the playoff situation, okay? And at some point, much like I mentioned with the Raiders, something's got to give. And the pressure will keep mounting on him, much like it did Peyton Manning many, many moons ago, until he has some postseason success. Now, number one on my list, I hate to do it to him, Raj, because Sean McVay's my boy, okay? He is my boy. But Matt Stafford and Sean McVay, you move off of Jared Goff, which I approved of at the time. Yes, George Sedano does approve of this message. Because I don't think Jared Goff is better than Matt Stafford. I think that Jared Goff has a ceiling, and we saw that ceiling with Sean McVay pulling the strings, okay? But you make that seismic move, and you're going to have to pay dividends, okay? 13 years, Matt Stafford has been a quarterback, only four winning seasons, no playoff wins. We're going to see what Sean McVay and Matt Stafford are made of, and I don't think anyone has more pressure on them than the Rams. Although I do think they're going to win 11 or 12 games this year. It's just a matter of what happens in the playoffs. Can that defense still be as dominant? We'll see, but it's going to be on that coach and quarterback. They're my number one coach QB pressure combo. All right, there you have it. Hey, it's the Mac Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance.
That's right, George. This is the time of the week, going into the weekend, where we like to test Bubba's lack of hip-hop knowledge versus you or Mac's lack of rock knowledge. So, we'll show you how it's done. B, are you there, B?
Sure, what?
We know how much you look forward to this game. You remember Yo MTV Raps, right? Back on MTV?
Not particularly, no.
That's right. So, name me one of the hosts. You know the hosts, right? Right, George?
Ed yeah, Mama. Fab Five Freddy, man. Come on.
No, the two holes after that. There were two holes after. Oh, this is not bad. Where you answer for him.
Oh, but. My bad.
Ed Lover.
who gave you that?
No, he got it.
I said that 20 seconds ago.
He got it.
Well, you guys were yapping.
Okay.
All right.
What's my question? Because we don't have a lot of time here.
Okay, your question thing. Okay, check it out. All right, so in the 70s, Janis Joplin, Jim Morrison, and which Seattle rocker all died at the age of 27?
Jimi Hendrix?
Okay, ding ding for you. That's right.
All right,
okay.
One quick one. A. Go.
Yes. B, this rapper said, you say he's just a friend. But
Biz
Markie. Oh,
all right, you know what, Bubba? You win, man. You win. I'm going to let you take this win. You deserve the W. Great job by Bubba and Raj. Thank you guys for tuning in, calling. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening to the Max Kellerman Show. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.